I'm Candace Clark, and this is No Empty Chairs, Episode 20, Respond with Love. Did you know that you can have a great relationship with your adult children, even if you have faith differences? My name is Candace Clark. I'm a mom, a professional certified life coach with advanced certification in faith-based coaching, and a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you're willing to make more room for difference in your family and your church, I can show you how. Let's go. Welcome back to No Empty Chairs. I am delighted you're here with me today. Lately, I've been talking about a newer resource available on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints website called Helping Others with Questions. It's found on the Topics and Questions page of the church website. There's a section called Seeking Answers to Questions, and then right under that, there's a section called Helping Others with Questions. Today, we're taking a look at the section called Respond with Love. This seems like it should be such an easy thing to do, but there are so many ways we can find ourselves operating from an emotion other than love. Fear, worry, defensiveness, and even contempt can all come up for us when someone tells us about their questions or concerns about the church we belong to or the teachings we believe. If that is what happens for you, you're normal. You have good reasons for thinking thoughts that create fear, worry, defensiveness, contempt, or any other emotion you have. It's okay to have those thoughts and emotions. And also, we always get to decide whether we react from those emotions or whether we choose instead to cultivate thoughts that generate love so we can act from that more peaceful and powerful emotion. Stephen Covey has quoted an unknown author whose lines encapsulate Viktor Frankl's teachings. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space lies our freedom and our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our happiness. End quote. Responding with love has nothing to do with controlling our children, especially when they are adults. Love may help us maintain our influence with them, but in the end, they remain agents unto themselves. We cut ourselves short, though, if we, in turn, forget that we are agents unto ourselves. We have the agency to choose our response and to choose our growth and our happiness. Here's what the church website teaches in the section called Respond with Love. When someone close to you shares their questions or concerns about the church, it's normal to feel anxious or worried. Try to set aside these emotions and respond with kindness and compassion. You may not fully understand the other person's experience, but you can follow Jesus Christ's example and always show love. Sometimes people hesitate to share their struggles because they fear they might lose their relationships with those who are close to them. If someone reaches out to you, they're looking for support. Respond with love, even if you don't know what to do or say. Look for ways to show compassion and kindness, even when they make choices you do not agree with. Here are some principles that will help you show love to people when they share their questions with you. Speak with love. Communicate with humility, kindness, and sincerity. Eloquence and brilliant ideas are less useful than showing Christ-like love. Express your love simply, sincerely, and repeatedly. As the Spirit directs, look for the right time and way to give a reason of the hope that is in you. I want to interject here how important it is to access our humility before we consider instructing someone else. Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife talks about losing relational strategies, some of them from the work of Terry Real. Losing strategies are ways of interacting that damage relationships. One of those relationship-damaging losing strategies is needing to be right. It's one that is easy to fall into when you're part of, quote, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth. The truth is that we can only know our own experience. Our imagination and understanding are limited. We're working with our own best understanding of who God is, which is necessarily limited by our own humanity and experience. Summoning some humility and acknowledging to ourselves to begin with that someone else's life experience might reasonably lead them to make different choices than we make becomes important to creating a respectful relationship that honors the other person's identity and autonomy. Back to the principles from the church website. Serve them in meaningful ways. Find ways to show your love and commitment. Ask them what makes them feel valued and how you can support them. Then consider how you can act on what you learn. Your service will reinforce your words of love and will reassure the person that you care. I'm interjecting again to note that when we're serving someone else in meaningful ways, we're trying to connect with them in ways that are meaningful to them, which requires getting to know who they actually are. When we don't know something about a person, asking them directly is often the best option, and we're often uncomfortable with doing that, especially when we're uncertain about what they will say and whether we will be able or willing to follow through on their request. But the only way to get more good information for us to make decisions with is to ask, which, I notice, brings us back to humility again. It will take faith to trust that you can find a way to use what you learn to be a better servant and friend. One way I have meaningfully served my child is to use their pronouns. I rarely have occasion to refer to them in the third person when I am with them, so I think it took a while for them to realize that I was doing this. I use their pronouns with people at church who don't know their pronouns yet. I use their pronouns with my extended family members who are not all quite on board. I use their pronouns with their siblings. And I use their pronouns in my head when I think of them. I know this is something that matters to them, so it is worth the effort to me, even during times we don't see each other very much. Here's the next principle. Preserve your relationship. It is more important to cultivate a relationship of love and trust than to provide quick answers. A good goal may be just to keep the conversation going. Maintaining your relationship while keeping your covenants is the best way to continue having a positive influence. I'm going to end the quote there for a moment. The missionary rhetoric is strong in our church, and our impulse is often to teach and testify with our words. There is certainly a place for that, but I don't think it's useful for that to be our default setting. Telling people things reaches out to their minds from our minds, often at the neglect of reaching out to them with our hearts and our bodies. Feeling with people and being present with them are also legitimate ways to testify of Jesus Christ as we reach toward loving as He loves. This section concludes with this counsel. Try to see them through the Lord's eyes. Elder Dale G. Renland taught, "We cannot completely fulfill our covenant obligation to mourn with those who mourn and comfort those who stand in need of comfort unless we see them through God's eyes." Close quote. Your friend or loved one is a child of God with divine potential. They are experiencing the trials the Apostle Peter said we should expect in life. Jesus Christ calls upon His disciples to love others as He loves them. Pray for perspective to see them as He does. Love them without compromise. When someone we love decides to believe differently than we do or makes decisions we don't understand, we should respect their agency and continue to love them. We can do this without abandoning our own deeply held beliefs. President Russell Ballard taught, "We can love one another without compromising personal divine ideals, and we can speak of those ideals without marginalizing others." That's the end of that section. I believe President Ballard is right that we can speak of our ideals without marginalizing others, and that's work worth doing. It increases our capacity to love when we stay away from judgment while maintaining our discernment. I wonder whether we always notice the ways we might be marginalizing people who choose differently than we think they should. I'm going to be thinking about this question. Am I speaking of my ideals in a way that marginalizes others? Remember, there are no empty chairs. Hey there! If you enjoy this podcast, or even if you just find that it piques your curiosity or makes you think, please follow it and share it with your friends. Your rating and review makes it easier for others to find it. If you're ready to make more room for difference in your relationships with your children, I can help. Click on the link in the show notes to schedule a free conversation with Candace, the coach for moms whose kids don't come to church, or go to my website, CandaceClarkCoaching.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Candace Clark Coaching. Thanks for listening.